Welcome to the most fun part of the program, for my money. And that's when you get to call us live right now at 800-859-0957. Face it, it's too cold to do anything outside. Get on the phone and give us your problems. We'd love to solve them. 800-859-0957. Lines are open, and you just need to call in, and we'll find some solutions for your problems. It's been a while since we've been able to do these live call-ins, but I hope you'll take advantage of it. You may be sitting at home with a hot cup of tea or cocoa or something else to keep you internally warm.
It hasn't been that long. It was last week.
Well, I mean, in general. Yes, I know. Kind of a hit or miss whether we're here live. We are now. And what that means is that this toll-free number that's open, 800-859-0957, you get a free consultation with the masters of technology, Mr. Ed Rudell, Mr. Cal Carson, and Mr. Gary Baker. And I'm just here for the ride. You know, I kind of help to translate some of the geekiness.
After 17 years, you can answer all of them.
I can answer.
He does.
I stick my nose into them. In any case, seriously, folks, the lines are open right now, 800-859-0957. Maybe something you didn't know we did, but on this Saturday afternoon, you've got an opportunity for the next 2 hours to get a call in. And our mantra is the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. And very often when we answer your question, we're helping a whole bunch of other people out there.
And besides that, if the first couple are easy questions, we have a chance of answering them. That would be good.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, we had a couple listeners that wrote us emails, mm-hmm. and one of them was from Michael. And I answered this morning.
I saw that, yep.
But it'd be something, well, this happens a lot of times. So you're running, you know you have an adware or a malicious software on your computer, and you've done what we've recommended before, and you run Malwarebytes. Or super anti-spyware, and you scan your computer and you remove the malicious software, but you still have a few symptoms left over. And in this instance, Michael, what happens is that every time he launches, he did exactly that. He downloaded Malwarebytes. It removed a whole bunch of stuff. But now when he launches Internet Explorer, he sees that an extra tab still launches on Internet Explorer, so multiple tabs still open, and it opens up to one of the websites that has like an ad, you know, and wants to reinstall the ad software, basically.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Or some coupon clippers club, you know, stuff like that.
Yep.
And basically what I said back to him is, you know, go back into Internet Explorer. Obviously, there's an add-on program mm-hmm. within Internet Explorer that you need to potentially try to remove. So go into Tools, Add-ons, Manager Add-ons, mm-hmm. which are just small little applets that are installed in Internet Explorer, like toolbars and such. Check those and see if you could find something that shouldn't be there. And common sense will say, you know which ones that you mm-hmm. can remove. Just by looking at it, you can see it doesn't use a friendly name.
Mm-hmm. Now, why is it, though, anybody, you guys, chime in. They've run, as you said, Malwarebytes. They ran whatever the spyware had. Why is it that those pop-ups are still in there?
Well, it's not a pop-up. It's an add-on program. But I'm just saying that's one thing to check. The other thing is to go into Internet Explorer and tell it to go restore factory settings, restore defaults, which was the first suggestion. And that way, it'll save their favorites or bookmarks. It'll disable most of the add-ons, except mm-hmm. for Microsoft's. So you may have to go back in there and re-enable Java, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or some of the Adobe plugins, you know, Adobe Reader, PDF Viewer, and stuff like that. But when you do reset, it'll reset Internet Explorer back to its defaults, usually, mm-hmm. unless there's some heavy-duty manipulation by the adware. Like, in the registry, Windows basically stores what is the default homepage. And it's located in the registry. I mean, corporations use this. So instead of, say, if I worked for Ford Motor Company or I worked for General Motors or I worked for Google, when I reset my browser, I want the default homepage to go to an internal website.
Right,
I don't want it
right.
to go to Microsoft.com.
Right, right, exactly, right.
So there is a registry setting. And, and some of the malicious software actually changes that default registry setting.
Okay.
So even if you go into Internet Explorer and tell it to go back mm-hmm. to factory settings, it'll pull that value from the registry.
Is that where you have to go to something like a Malwarebytes or CombiFix or something to get them up?
The point I'm getting across is you need to go into Internet Explorer and manually check its settings.
Tools, I got you. Okay.
Tools options, go to the general tab. Make sure that you have the right homepage typed into the general tab.
Good point.
You know, check your add-ons, right? Set the default to the advanced tab and restore the factory settings.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
okay.
Check your add-on software.
I had Cal. I had this happen on my Mac. That I was this Trovi, T-R-O-V-I. You may have heard of it, I'm sure. And I found that I had to literally uninstall Chrome because it was so badly infected, and then download and install Chrome again because it was in there as a setting, an extension. But when I opened up, I think it was Firefox, suddenly I found it in there as well.
Yep.
I thought that the only software I've used on a Mac to try to get rid of malware is Clam XAB, and it didn't get it. It did not get to it.
Well, I think sometimes, I know on the Windows side of the fence, if a person doesn't put it into safe mode when they go in to do those cleanups and they have those browsers running when they're doing the cleanup, it can't get to all those files because some of them are open at that time, so it can't affect what it needs to do against it. Not every time, but sometimes I've noticed it to do that sort of thing. And that would probably be the same thing on the Mac. The other thing that happens a lot on the Mac is I noticed that, and it's only because I haven't really investigated on the Windows side, is that the browsers, when you have multiple browsers, they tend to talk to each other.
Oh.
And so it says, so if you have Safari on there and you bring up, let's say Chrome, mm-hmm. Chrome will immediately, the first thing it'll say is, hey, do you want all the bookmarks from Safari? You want me to bring those over here?
I got you.
So because they kind of talk back and forth between each other, if you don't really watch out what you're doing when you bring them up after you clean up, it'll just spread it back and forth.
So you got to make sure you get them all.
Yes.
All right. Okay, folks, here's the phone number again. That was an email that we received, and Ed answered that for Michael. But we want to answer your questions right now. And it's phone lines are open at 800-859-0957. 800-859-0957. We're open here for business for the next 2 hours. Well, lo, these many years ago, Gary Baker, my co-host, and I began the Internet Advisor Program that started kind of on Saturdays in the mornings. I was doing the weekend program here on WJR from the late 90s across the top of the century. And it started with people calling in. Matter of fact, I called Gary up and asked a question about my service. He was providing me with broadband service then.
That's
and
right.
It's gone on, and people at that time would call in with their questions. And we've gone now we're into our 18th year of doing this. But we haven't had much chance on a consistent level through the fall up to this point to do these questions, open lines. And we're doing it right now. And I hope that if you're out there, maybe you've got a question about something that's been happening with your computer and you're wondering, why is it still happening to me? Or can I get some advice? We've got great techs in here who are troubleshooters. They've been working for many years. Ed Rudell and Cal Carson, particularly with GM executive teams, have been working on that. Cal knows the Apple system, the Macintosh, if you have something in that world. And Ed, certainly in the Windows world, and you've actually worked, probably both of you, across both of those worlds. And Gary Baker here as well, that is very familiar with these worlds. So the phone line is open right now for you. It's kind of like you can go to your local computer shop, or you can just pick up the phone and call us at 800-859-0957.
Yep.
We'll do our best to help you.
And I was just thinking how much they charge when you take it to a big box store. They may look at it for $80, but you want them to service it. That's like $200 before you can get your unit back.
So, and the amazing thing is that sometimes the service that they're providing you, not because they're being unscrupulous or anything like that, but it's something that you probably could have easily done yourself. Had you just applied a little bit of knowledge and some curiosity, and you can be able to knock it off and save yourself some dollars.
Absolutely.
And that's really important to be able to do.
All right, let's start our calls. And by the way, we're going to be here until 7 o'clock this evening with this open line. So as you're going along, maybe you have a question, jot it down. And when you get someplace you can safely call us, give us a call at 800-859-0957. Let's start with Roger from Clawson. Hey, Roger, how are you doing? Welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Thank you. I'm doing quite well. Trying to stay warm, but I have a tablet that it's a Galaxy Tab 3.
Mm-hmm.
I've had it for a few months, and it's functioning just fine for what I need it to do, and it's primarily to use emails. And
okay.
And in the last couple of days, the format of the email, I'm through Yahoo Mail,
mm-hmm.
It changed from a full screen across like it is on my computer to a column on the left side and a great big Yahoo with an envelope on the right. And it's because of it's a touch screen, it takes me like 42 times to touch that the email I want to open.
Oh, dear.
And I was wondering if there's a way to go back to what I had in the beginning.
I'm not sure how to do that. I knew it sounds like the website, you know, how if you had a mouse, how when you hover over a left-hand column or between the individual fields, how you get those two vertical lines and then you click the mouse and like in a spreadsheet and you can stretch the website over
move the columns.
Yeah, you can move the columns. But on a tablet, that's very difficult to do with your finger unless you have a stylus. So
yeah.
Well, I have a stylus and I use the stylus and you even if you try to slide it left to the right, to bring it over, it will not move.
Do you have a settings that you can go to? This is an Android, so you can go to settings, right?
I can go back to settings. Yeah,
and it would normally be under a view. Do you?
I'm wondering if you can go back to settings.
To settings, but then go to the view. Do they have
exactly
a view?
And reset the default? We talked about that before. Yeah.
Right, and I believe you can also on an Android device possibly go into like the application manager, and you can clear the cache. So you go into settings, and then you look for. I'm bringing up my Android device right now.
And I'm there now with the application manager.
Right, and then in there you have a listing of all the individual applications, and mm-hmm. there is the ability to, clear the cache, and so you could possibly uninstall it and then reinstall
there
it again.
You go.
But which browser are you using? Are you using the default browser provided by the tablet, the Galaxy 3?
Yeah, there's default applications I can go to also, but that...
Well, I'm
that
sorry, which icon are you using on the...
Icon.
Yeah, like for... Oh, you know, how do you access your mail? Are you using the email application, or are you using a browser and then going into your email?
I'm using the mailbox with Yahoo on it, and it goes right to it.
Oh, so you have an application called Mailbox with Yahoo?
Yeah.
So basically you're using the mail application itself.
Yeah.
So you might want to go into the mail application and clear your cache. This is difficult to do. I just have my Android phone right here.
We have all sorts of operating systems here. But it does sound like you need to go back into your settings and into the mail and see if you can reset it to the default. And if you can do that, it may go back then to that view that is a standard view.
Yeah, and search within the application manager and also look for the ability to clear the cache.
Okay, Roger. Give that a try.
All right, thank you very much.
And let us know.
I will give it a try.
Yeah, and let us know, by the way, you can get back to us by email.
Please,
going to internetadvisor.net and the contact us, and we'd love to follow up with you on that. We want to get to some of the other folks who are with us right now, too. And we have a friend of ours, Ben Carpenter. How you doing, Ben?
I'm doing fine. How about you?
Doing well, sir. You have a couple of questions for us, I understand.
Well, I forgot what one of them was that I sent, but I know that one of them was about my XP machine.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if I could take the hard drive out of that and put it in one of them boxes to hook it up with USB port and have the programs open.
All right, so you want to take the hard drive out of one of your old XP machines, put it into an enclosure, right?
Yes.
And then from there, you want to be able to use it to connect it by USB?
Yes.
Back to what?
To a Windows 7 machine.
Ah, to a Windows 7 machine.
Yeah, but the only caveat that's in this game that I heard him say is that he wanted to be able to execute the programs that are going to be on the external drive. Is that correct?
Yeah, I've got two programs on that XP machine that I run about twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to be able to run them on my Windows 7 machine if I could, but I don't have disks or anything to put it on that machine. And
I see.
And if he doesn't have the ability to reinstall those programs, they're not going to work being on an external hard drive.
I mean, unless they're DOS-based programs, which are or utility, like some programs that you download, when you execute them from the default folder, may work very few of them do, and Microsoft doesn't want that. Think about it. I mean, the whole the whole purpose of this is to share common software libraries, which are located in Windows and Windows system folders, and very few programs. Like on the Mac, if you had a Mac, you could do that. You know, if you hooked up a Mac to an external drive, because the programs are pretty much self-contained within the folders for the most part. Mm-hmm. You know, on a PC, you really can't do that.
Mm, okay.
The only thing I've done, I've had a few people that have had problems like this. I've scoured the internet for the program names and have been able to find the programs on the internet and reinstall them on the other computer.
Okay.
You know, find free versions of the program or find a download.
But he'd have to have it on that drive that he's going to be having.
Well, you'd have to install it onto Windows 7 machine, reinstall it, and then you copy the other folders on top of the one you just installed. And hopefully it works, but it's really hit or miss. And you're prone to viruses because a lot of these old programs, people are interested in installing on newer computers, and they're seeded with viruses and malware.
Oh, dear.
Not to mention, isn't there a licensing issue that might go along with that as well?
I haven't had that XP machine fired up and hooked to the internet since they quit having the updates for it.
Since the Bushes were out of office. Yeah.
Well, here's the question I got for you, Ben. The programs that you're using on that XP machine, do they require the internet?
No, they do not require the internet, but I have to have them hooked up to my router because I got a wireless printer hooked up to that router. So I unplugged the cord to the from the telephone when I... fire that up to use it. Mm-hmm. So it's never hooked up to the internet.
Well, if you only use it twice a year and it's never hooked up to the internet when you use it, why don't you just continue using it that way and don't worry about it?
In other words, just keep it on the XP machine.
Yeah, it's going to fail eventually. The hard, I mean, if anything, he could clone the hard drive to another unit.
A new hard drive.
A new, just so it doesn't fail. I
there
mean,
you go.
It's
there
a mechanical go. Hard yeah. drive. It's going to fail at some point.
So
unfortunately.
What I hear you guys saying then is that, Ben, you could just take the programs that are there, clone that hard drive onto a new drive. So you've got mechanically a new drive.
Yeah.
And then put that in the XP machine and leave the XP machine only to be used a couple of times a year.
Yeah.
Okay, Ben?
Sounds like he really wants to hook it up on the 7, but it's not going to work.
No,
usually.
Well, sounds like you have to keep it on the XP machine. Okay, hey, Ben, we got to one of your questions at least. We'll try to, with the email, to get the rest of them, okay?
Okay.
All right, Ben, take care of yourself. Stay warm. And for the rest of you, hey, Jim and Jill, we'll be with you in just a moment. And for the rest of you, the number is 800-859-0957. Your questions, our answers. Now, this is Foster Brown, the co-host of the program. Gary Baker, Ed Riddell, and Kel Carson in studio, where sleeves are rolled up and ready to help you. And the way we help you is by answering the phones at 800-859-0957. Toll free, wherever you're hearing me. And we'd love to help you if you're in Ontario, Southwest Ontario, or you're in Michigan, Indiana, Ohio, wherever you happen to be. We'd love to help you.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Yeah.
Within the sound of your golden voice.
There you go. 800-859-0957. We've got Jill and Jim waiting, and there's space for you as well. Okay, guys, I know that you are the ultimate lovers. You've already figured out what to do for Valentine's Day, right?
That's next week, right?
Well, then maybe we have something that can help you here. These are 5 last-minute Valentine gifts that you can do. There you go. The first one is an app, to get an app for somebody. You know, favorite thing that they would like on their phone.
Wow.
Think of an app. All right.
So there's a great app called Hey Let's, and it's for last minute planners. So if you haven't figured out what you're going to do, hey, let's do this. Hey,
all right.
Let's
there
do that.
Go.
And they come up with some great ideas and go the. Download the app, and maybe you can find something that will get you out of the doghouse for not having planned this earlier.
We'll get that up online. All right. A couple other things before we get back to our calls. Right now. E-books. For instance, Steve Sadler was with us last week. You can get his ebook by going to iBooks, and you can get it there.
Mindset. And actually, he was in L.A. Maybe there's a movie deal.
Oh, yeah, he's even a movie deal out of that.
Who knows?
That's from our program last week. Music. For instance, a song or an album from iTunes Store or from Spotify or something like that. Digital subscription to magazines. Many magazines are no longer in the stands.
These are clearly romantically geek gifts, right?
Yes.
Okay, keep going.
Can you say romantically and geek in the same sentence? I don't know. Okay, anyway.
He's trying.
We keep going.
All right, we'll try some more. We'll see if there's more that you guys can come up with. Let's go to Jim in Grosse Pointe. Welcome to the Internet Advisor, Jim. How you doing?
Yes, happy Valentine's Day to you.
Thank you very much. Trying to help these guys with some presents ideas.
There you go. I have a MacBook Pro, and every so often it comes up with this spinning disc that spins forever. And, you know, I've got two cleaners that I use, but it keeps coming back.
Did you say spinning disc, or is it a spinning beach ball, like multicolored?
Yeah, it's a multicolored disc that spins.
Okay, and do you have your MacBook Pro in front of you right now?
Actually, I don't.
Okay. How much memory is in your MacBook Pro?
Boy, I don't know.
Okay. My gut guess is, let's go a little bit further. So when you're using your MacBook Pro, you probably have Safari open because you're browsing the net.
Right.
And you probably got a mail program open.
Yeah.
And what else do you have open when you're normally using the computer?
Just Safari, nothing else.
Okay. My gut guess would probably say that you probably need more memory in that machine. You probably don't have enough. That's generally the first thing that starts kicking the old beach ball up in front of you.
Okay, so it's not a virus that came in and does that.
I don't think so.
No, not normally.
No, not normally.
So this is something that happens not on power up, but as he uses the computer, this will come up occasionally. Am I understanding?
Right,
then
if I use my two cleaners, it'll go away for a little while, and then it comes back.
The other thing that you might want to do, if it's not that. Now, which cleaners are you using?
One's called, is it Mac Cleaner or something like that? I forgot. There's two of them.
Well, if it's not Mac Cleaner, there's one that starts with the name of Mac.
Yeah.
And it's just a bad news situation. It doesn't do much of anything, and it ties up a lot of stuff on your machine. I would probably take that off.
What's a good one, then?
If you want to check for viruses and stuff like that, I would use something like Clam AV. Or
C-L-A-M?
Yes, called Clam XAV.
Okay.
Yes, Clam X A V.
Clam X A V, and it's free.
That's free. Who do you get your internet from?
Comcast.
You could try Norton antivirus on your machine. You get that free from Comcast, and it's the full blown program.
I'm using that. I've got a PC, and that's the main one that comes in on that. So, no, I'll use that other one. Clam XAV sounds good.
But you're going to want to take the other two cleaners off first.
Yeah, right.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yes. So they don't compete, right.
Oh, so I shouldn't use more than one at a time.
Correct.
Because you start fighting with one another. Hey, by the way, just a quick question. Could he repair permissions? Might that be a problem?
That was going to be the next place I was going to go as well. You might want to go into disk utilities. I mean, go into your utilities folder, then go to disk utility, and then click on your hard drive on the left-hand column, and then click the button that says verify disk permissions.
And what was that last part?
You're going to start up. You're going to go on your hard drive. You're going to go into applications.
Right, right.
Go into utilities.
Right.
And start up disk utility.
Right.
And then you're going to see on the left-hand side, there's going to be a column that shows you your hard drive. And you're going to click once on that hard drive to select it. And then you're going to click on the button that says verify disk permissions.
And when it's done through that, then you can put repair.
Yeah. Well, if it goes through and comes back with the green line that says everything's okay, then you can just close it up. But if it comes back with the red line saying things need to be repaired, then you're going to click the button below it that says repair disk permissions. Run that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then after
that's
that.
That's separate from this Clam XAV, right?
Yeah, correct. It's entirely separate.
That's built into the operating system. Yeah. It's a utility that comes with it.
Okay.
You don't want to hear my 10-second disappointment with my Mac Pro, do you?
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I needed to make a movie. And I looked around, and everybody told me, Jim, you got to buy a Mac and do it there.
Mm-hmm.
So they talked me out of the PC. So I went to buy my Mac Pro to do that. And I went to two different Apple stores, and they both tell me, you buy this machine, you'll be able to do it. You'll be able to make your DVD. Everything will be great.
Mm-hmm.
I buy it. I get on there. You cannot make DVDs on the machine. They took off the program for it. You'd have to buy another separate program, and neither store knew that.
Now, how old is your MacBook Pro?
3 years.
3 years old.
Well, they came out, I don't know why, but they came out with that new line, and they did not put in the software to burn the disks. It was crazy, and none of the people knew that. That's how great
that's
that
strange.
Was. And in addition, I found out after that, when I'm using it, I had a variety of different formats I needed of movies to pull them in. Well, my PC would pull them in, but the Mac was very picky about the formats that it would use, so I was disappointed.
Okay. So you got a number, Jim, you got a number of issues here to deal with, and I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to invite you to get hold of us by email as well. Now, we're giving you a couple of things to do here, okay? With the Clam XAV, pardon me, and then also repairing permissions. And then after that, get back to us, and we'll talk with you more on email about the issue of getting rid of the spinning beach ball, see if that took care of it, see if you need more RAM, and then the other thing we need to talk to you about burning movies, okay? Thank you very much for giving us a call. 859-0957. That's 800-859-0957 is our number. And I want to move on to Jill in Macomb. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. Happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, happy Valentine's Day to you, too. I've been listening for quite a few years, and I'm happy to get through.
Good. We're glad to have you here. What can we do for you?
My question might tie in with the previous caller.
Okay.
I have a desktop Mac, and I've been getting the spinning beach ball way too often.
Okay.
My Mac's about 4 years old.
Okay. Is it the iMac?
Yes, it's the iMac, okay. Intel.
Is it the 20-inch or the 24-inch one?
I thought it was like 21.
Okay.
Not the real big one.
Okay, not the big one. Okay.
Do you know how much memory you have in yours?
Yeah, while I was on hold, I looked, and I have, there's 4 gigabytes installed, and then I have the memory slots, which are empty.
Ah,
all right.
Okay.
What do you do with your computer? Tell me how you use it.
I have a lot of photos. I browse the web. I put things up on eBay, and sometimes I blog.
Now, when you say you have a lot of photos, would you say over 3,000?
I looked at storage, and it says my photos are 116.5 gigabytes worth.
Wow. Okay. Now, and do you get that beach? Do you get
lot.
That beach ball a lot when you're using the photos?
You know what? I was getting it, so I haven't been using it.
Yeah.
Okay, so
this got frustrated.
Two things I'm going to suggest to you. Number one, iPhoto, which comes on the Mac,
right,
and it's probably what you're using to do those photos with. It has a threshold of when you get about 3,000 photos, it gets a little sluggish, and
okay,
I would suggest that you switch over to something like Photoshop Elements,
okay,
to manipulate and handle those photos. And also to add an additional 4 gig of RAM to your machine.
Now, Jill, I'm going to put you on hold, okay?
Okay.
And we're going to get to you during the break and see if we can wrap up that issue for you. We've got Don in Clinton Township and Alex in Dearborn, and we've got a whole other hour to answer questions here as well. Welcome back, and we'll begin with Alex in Dearborn in just a moment, but phone lines are open for you. 800-859-0957. And we're going to be going, by the way, until 7 o'clock this evening. So I thought we'd just take a little more time to give you folks out there an opportunity to call. And it's Windows or Mac's environment. If you have a cell phone, too, I know that's kind of, we've been drawn into a lot of questions about tablets and about cell phone technology because it's all kind of blurring together now with all the companies. Yeah, Cal.
Just to follow up on the previous call,
oh, yeah,
I was
Jill.
Talking with Jill. And we talked it out a little bit more. And what she's going to do, she's going to get, I told her to go to crucial.com and put in her model number of her Mac and find out the type of memory that it uses.
Mm-hmm.
And she can either order it directly from them or she can print out the paper so she'll know the type of memory she has. And she's going to go over to a local store like Micro Center and purchase the memory herself. But I told her before she did that, if she felt comfortable putting it in herself, I wanted her to go to youfixit.com and look up for her particular Mac how to install the memory and watch the video a couple of times. If she feels comfortable enough that she can take that on herself, then she can go buy the memory, come back, put it in,
mm-hmm.
try that out first and see if that increases her performance, because she is already upgraded up to Yosemite, which I know she needs more memory
right.
for.
Oh, right? Yeah. Right.
And then once she does that, if it works out, great. If not, then she'll go to the next highest step, which was to delete some of the photos off her machine and put them onto an external drive.
By the way, Mac, excuse me just a second. Mac, by the way, Apple is coming out with a new program to handle photos, and it's simply going to be called Photo.
Yes.
And iPhoto, I think it is. iPhoto, I think it's called. Mm-hmm. And that will be coming out with a new update that's coming.
Yep.
And they acknowledge that iPhoto has not been good at handling a large numbers of
photos. Yeah, when you get up over that many photos.
I have 6,000. So I think
it gets real wonky when you get up in the high thousands.
And exactly. Cal, really, one of the best ways to get some better performance is to add more RAM memory.
Yeah, that's one of the quickest.
Machine, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine not having 10 or at least 8 gig today.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Say. And that's whether you're using Windows, Mac, or whatever.
Whatever.
Right. 8 is like the baseline for
me. Isn't
it
incredible? 8 gigabytes is the base nowadays.
And I have it on both my machines, right?
Yeah.
8 gig minimum. So.
And, what was that Bill Gates said 64 meg ought to be enough for everybody?
Yeah, you're right. Ed, one of the things that Cal mentioned, I think you said this before, YouTube is a great place to go.
YouTube, you fix it. I mean, that's how I replaced... You Fix It is where I went to learn how to replace the gas solenoids on my dryer for $5 instead of spending $150 on the entire thing.
Yeah. And you're listening to a technician there who has done, he's fixed everything out there. But you,
oh, and
YouTube
hammers, hammers and magnets don't jive. Don't do that. You demagnetize them. So,
all right. Let's go back. Video is very good. Helps you in many, many different things. All right. Let's go back to Alex. From Dearborn, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Hi, guys. I'm a real amateur at this. I have an Apple computer. It's 5 years old. It's a OS X version 10.5.
Okay.
It's got 2 gigabytes of memory. What happened? I just use it basically for email and trying to find my way around with mapping.
Okay.
And printing letters.
Okay.
But
and it's probably really good for that, right?
I mean, sorry?
It's probably a really good machine still for that.
Yeah, it's very convenient, but lately it's been, every time I move the arrow to click on or to scroll my emails, it freezes and it presents these boxes next to the arrow, like tools, like it says back or reload page, and they won't clear out, or I get new folder, these little boxes next to the arrow. And they just keep, anywhere I move the arrow, they'll keep coming up, and I can't do my task of opening my email or doing what I want to do. And I went to took the computer to Apple, and they told me, well, this is an older computer, and they said I should get an update, an OX 10.6, which is still not what the new ones are like, but they said that would be a compromise, and that might cut it down.
Okay, what is OS, the 10.6, is that Snow Leopard?
That would be Snow Leopard,
Snow Leopard, right.
Yeah. Yes, that's a Snow Leopard. Right.
Well, that would help. I think with those boxes that you're seeing...
And then they disappear, you know, and then they'll come back again. It's very, for a short time.
Mm-hmm. A lot of times what's happening is that you have a browser on there that, for that version of the OS, you have a browser you can only go so far with. And what happens, you have websites that have content and features in it that that browser cannot support properly. And because of that, you'll get unpredictable performance. You'll get weird little things popping up like that. By upgrading the OS, you'll get a browser that will be closer to what's going on nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
So that may help. But in 5 years, that's a long time in the internet world, and you might be getting close to a time where it's time to bite the bullet and say, you know, it's time for a new machine, whether that be a Mac or a Windows. But, you know, it's your browser that's getting to be too old in the tooth.
What about an alternate browser? Because Safari, you can only update to a certain point. Why couldn't he download an alternate browser like
Chrome?
A Firefox or Chrome, something on the Mac OS that's independent of the OS, right? But it's still receiving updates from this third party, either Firefox or Mozilla, Chrome.
That's a good choice. You can try that as a workaround. Try downloading Chrome and see whether or not you get the same results.
So would I have to buy this?
No.
Absolutely free. Just go to google.com And when you get there, it's going to say to you, hey, why don't you try Google Chrome? Click here.
They'll read your computer and notice you don't have Google Chrome.
And they will be happy to offer that to you.
They'll offer it to you.
And you'll click it, download it, install it, and see if that works better for you.
Okay.
So that would be, I could do that right away.
Yes,
yeah.
You could.
And the other thing is, he can update, he can go up to 10.6 Caddy on that machine, or can he?
Well, it all depends. Number one, let's see, 5 years ago, it should be an Intel-based machine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did. Yeah.
And, but Snow Leopard, I think he might have had to buy Snow Leopard.
But, oh, really?
Yeah.
But it's cheap, though, right?
But he can get it now for like, I think it's like $19.
Yeah, it's from iTunes. They sell it.
Yeah, you go into the iTunes store and you would essentially pay about
CD.
20.
I think it's a CD that you install.
Yeah, they'll ship them out a CD. Yeah. You can't download.
Now, is there anything else? I mean, if he was to consider this, obviously he's had the computer for 5 years. Isn't there some other general maintenance things that he should do, like a disk cleanup or temporary internet files? Because on the PC environment, if I had a person that had a 5-year-old computer, I'd be like, man, let's rebuild this sucker, you know?
Right.
But on a Mac, they just really do work. But are there any type of general things that he might want to consider doing as well?
Well, he could go into preferences under Safari, mm-hmm. click on the advanced tab, and then click a little button that says show the developer menu on the menu bar. And that will put a word up there that says develop. Once it does that, then he can go back in and say, under develop, he can say empty cache, and it will empty out all his caches for Safari.
Right.
And then he can go back and turn that back off again so he doesn't have that there anymore.
You know, that's a good point, because I was thinking of the operating system in general, but what you basically said is cleaning out your Internet Explorer or your web browser cache. It might be 6 years old as well. So you might want to clean that out. Okay,
hey,
that's a good idea.
Alex, we're going to ask you to, in turn, get in touch with us by email at our Contact Us button, because we're coming up to the top of the hour. And we've got Mark from Monroe and Don from Clinton Township. Guys, if you can hang on, we will be back with another hour of answering questions after the news at the top of the hour. And for the rest of you out there, I hope you'll get a question to us at 800-859-0957. As you heard, sometimes we can't answer all the issues right now, and we just encourage you then to get on to the email with us after that. But very often as well, in the process of dealing with the answers to your questions, we help a lot of people with their issues as well. Foster Brown, Gary Baker, Ed Riddell, and Cal Carson back for another hour of answering your questions at 800-859-0957. The Internet Advisor on the air helping you for one more hour this afternoon.